I invite you to Genesis chapter 1. We've been in a 3-week series of messages addressing from Scripture the issues of homosexuality and gender. So this is the final week, and we began by looking at the Word of God. That was the first message, establishing that the Word of God must be our guide, our anchor, the truth that we turn to. And then from there, looking to the Word to help us understand and move forward and live in the days in which these issues are much abounding much in our society. Tonight we'll close this series with a Q&A, so we have about 6 or 7 questions to look at tonight. So I encourage you to be here tonight, 6:30, as we kind of try to answer biblically some practical questions, biblical questions. How do you live as a believer in this kind of situation with these issues around us? So I encourage you to be able to be here tonight as well. As we look at Genesis 1, if you would find Psalm 139, we're going to look at a couple of verses in Psalm 139 that I think are very key to this issue. Very helpful, I would say, as well. Psalm 139, during the message, we'll step over there for a minute and read those verses. So again, these are issues in our day that we much need direction from the Word and much grace from the Lord. So let's ask Him to help us. Father, we come before Your throne of grace again, and what a wonderful time we've already had to join together as the family of God to sing Your praises, to think about Your faithfulness and Your grace to us. Lord, you are good, You are wise, You are faithful, merciful, gracious. We love You and praise You for who You are and for all of the good things that You constantly provide, Lord. Your mercies are new every morning. Your faithfulness, how great is Your faithfulness. We are here today, alive and breathing, because of how good You are. So we want to stop and just give You praise and give You glory. And yet we know, Father, that in our lives we often do not give You glory. We fall short of the glory of God. We turn to ourselves. We turn to our own desires. We turn to the world rather than reflecting Your glory and experiencing our greatest joy by knowing You. We believe the lies of our flesh, the deceptions of the enemy, and we turn to lesser things. So much about us, Father, that's characterized in that way. We just keep turning to lesser things. We continually need Your truth. We continually need Your grace, Your forgiveness. But we're so thankful today that You sent Your Son to die on the cross that we might forever be reconciled to You and justified in Your sight. Without Christ, we would have no hope for this life or hope for the life to come. And so we are here today because of Jesus. And Jesus, we love You, and we're so thankful for the eternal work that You've done for us and for the day-to-day work that You continue to accomplish in us. And gathered right here, right now, around Your Word, addressing this issue is one of those moments that we need your help. Father, we may know someone who experiences this desire to change, to radically change. We may have that impulse in ourselves, here on campus, watching online. Father, we need your grace. Help us to clearly see life as you see it. Help us to clearly understand, Father, we will only find what we're looking for when we find it in you. God be with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I mentioned Wednesday night, we probably would never have guessed if someone were to ask you maybe 10 years ago, would we need to spend the time together in a sermon looking to the Bible to understand and talk clearly about gender? We might have guessed a number of things that we need the Scripture to help us and turn to Scripture, but knowing what is male and what is female, probably 10 years ago, you would have never guessed we would be in a society where we need help understanding what is male and what is female. And yet here we are. The transgender issue is, it's kind of a, in terms of its popularity now, and it's a relatively new development in the ever-growing, rapidly evolving sexual revolution. What began slowly several decades ago is wide open in our generation today. It's a logical outgrowth. The transgender movement is a logical outgrowth of the increasing normalization of homosexuality. Homosexual couples will often, one of the individuals in a homosexual couple will often take on the role of the opposite gender. So when you have two females who are together as a couple, one will usually take on a masculine role, even in appearance. Same for two males. One will often take on a more feminine role in the relationship. Which, by the way, goes to show you that even when God's good design and purpose is radically distorted, there's still the remnant there of what God intends. One man, one woman. So even though when you radically alter that to same-sex couples, you'll find the remaining print of God's design in trying to take on a different role, a different gender role. So you can observe then with the rise of homosexuality, and you say, why has homosexuality increased so rapidly in the last few years? And it's because we remove the restraint. When we said that same-sex marriage is marriage, we remove the restraint of the law. And any time you remove the restraint from sin, the law is the only thing that restrains sin in a society. You remove the restraint, you unleash the sin. It's the same thing that happened with abortion. We removed the restraint, we unleashed the sin. That's why years ago, you, you, You might have occasionally, now they were pockets of society, we know that, but you might have occasionally over your lifetime maybe encountered one or two homosexual couples. Today you encounter one about every day. Due to that rise, sin will never be satisfied, by the way. Sin is always progressive. It's never filled. It always wants more. I heard someone say not too long ago, we keep adding letters, right, to this movement. LGBTQ. And I heard someone say we'll just keep adding letters because sin just keeps distorting. It just keeps manipulating, it just keeps progressing. And I read the other day there's IA, LGBTQIA. I have no idea what the IA is, but it's there now. So you can see with the rise of homosexuality, more individuals are taking on the role of an opposite gender. In many ways, this paved the way for the introduction of the transgender movement. Transgender, of course, it means by definition to cross from one gender to another. To be born one gender, but to realize you are meant to be another gender. And so begins the pursuit to become who you think you are truly meant to be. Now, in order to accept and normalize the transgender movement or the transgender individual, there are several hurdles that society has now been kind of forced to believe and to accept. First, there is the separating of biological sex and gender. You have to believe that to accept and normalize transgenderism. You have to believe that there's a distinction between biological sex and gender. In 6,000 years of human history, biological sex and gender have always meant the same thing. How many forms have you filled out in your life? Your name, your address, your age, your sex. And they're looking for one or two things in the history of mankind, male or female. Gender and biological sex have always meant the same thing. If someone's born a biological male, male has always been his gender identity. Male has always meant boy, female has always meant girl. Now we're told that biological sex and gender are actually two different forms of identity. And we must accept that. We must agree with that. We must begin to think differently. We must separate biological sex and gender now. In order to be politically correct, in order to be a part of modern life, so one's biological sex is his or her. That's their biological identity, but gender is a social construct. Gender is left up to the individual. No matter what you are born, male or female, boy or girl, your gender, who you desire to identify with, how you desire to express yourself, your gender is an individual expression. It's not part of your biology. It's part of your desire for who you want to be or who you think you are. That's the first hurdle, and that's a big one. The second one then is that gender has been redefined, no longer tied to biology. The binary gender, it's called, which means binary gender means there's only male and female. That's it. Well, that is to be rejected now. That cannot be. When you have a transgender society or a transgender movement or a transgender individual, you cannot have binary gender. That has to be rejected. Think about that for just a little bit. Our present day ideology presses us to do away with the fact that every single human being born on the earth in 6,000 years of human history have been born either male or female. And that must be rejected. Gender is now considered to be a spectrum. It's various options and stages rather than being restricted to the old binary ways of thinking about gender. So now we have biological males who choose to identify as female, biological females who choose to identify as males, and non-binary individuals. That's an interesting term. Non-binary individuals who choose to identify as neither male or female. So now with that being the case, individual pronouns now, this is the third thing we have to adjust to. Individual pronouns tied to biological identification are to be rejected. So individuals who are on this gender spectrum somewhere, they may prefer to not be referred to as he or she, but to be referred to as they or them. A single individual. You get how confusing this gets? And if you are caught up in a transgender identity, my heart goes out to you. This is as confusing as it can be. All of this results in tremendous confusion. Imagine if one of these individuals are missing. What happens when one of these individuals go missing and police are asked to locate a them? Go find they. Imagine the medical community being required to treat patients according to their gender preference rather than their biological identity, and they are feeling the pressure. They are receiving the heat for not treating someone according to their preference rather than their biology. Imagine the confusion. Imagine the child being told, being raised to believe that while he may have been born with the biology of a boy, it's actually totally up to him. It's his decision whether he would rather be a girl or a boy. Imagine the confusion. Resulting confusion upon individuals and society is enormous. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion. Sin distorts God's good design and purpose for gender and therefore results in great confusion. The Bible offers great clarity. The Bible is very clear. Amid such drastic confusion, the Bible is so very crystal clear. It might not be what you want to hear, but it always speaks clearly. So let's look at this together from Genesis chapter 1. And we're looking at verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. First of all, let's talk about the image of God and gender. What does being created in the image of God mean, and how does that relate to gender? Both of these issues are raised in verse 27. We are created in the image of God, and we are created male and female. There's something about those. Created in the image of God means that we, apart from the rest of God's creation, what does that mean? We are somehow separated, distinct from the rest of God's creation. Well, we see that in verse 26, don't we? Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What does it mean for us as human beings that we are created in the image of God? We don't have a specific verse of Scripture that says, now being created in the image of God means this. But we do have clear indicators throughout Scripture that help us understand what does it mean that we are image bearers of God, and no other part of his creation bears his image. We bear his image. Well, first of all, it means there's this clear distinction between the rest of creation, isn't there? Verse 26 talks about having that dominion. We are to exercise dominion over the rest of God's creation. Specifically over the animal kingdom. We are not animals. We did not evolve from animals. We were created separately and distinctly from animals. God's word speaks to evolution. God exercises dominion over all of his creation, and we bear his image. We reflect his glory. We point back to him when we exercise dominion over his creation. God works and cares for his creation. We call this providence. God is constantly watching over and caring for and providing for his creation. We bear his image. We reflect his glory. We point back to him when we too are working and caring for his creation. We see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. God told Adam, "You go and you care for and you work in this garden." God thinks rational thoughts. We were created in his image with the capacity to think rational thoughts, to think through things. No other part of creation does that. We are distinctly different from the rest of creation in that we can form rational thoughts and rational communication. And deductions and conclusions and implications and references. We can do all of this thinking. That's something of the image of God reflecting back to the great mind of God. Our minds are miraculous. Something else God does is he creates from nothing. God creates. Now, he creates from nothing. We were created in his image with the capacity that we too, we can imagine. We can develop knowledge and skill, and we can take from what God has created and we can make our own creations. We can create things, paintings, buildings, essays, surgeries, all creations of man, reflecting back to their creator, image bearing back to the creator. And another thing, God created in chapter 2, verse 7, it says, when God created, when he formed Adam from the dust, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God created man as a living soul, as an eternal soul, which separates us from the rest of creation. We keep living after we die. The rest of creation dies. In that way, we image God. We reflect back to the glory of God. He is eternal, and he has created us to be eternal. Those are some things of the image of God. But what about this idea of gender? Why does the Bible say in verse 27, in the image of God he created them, male and female he created them? God in his very being is the triune God. This is the doctrine of the Trinity. And we see it right here in verse 26, don't we? Look at verse 26. Then God, singular, then God said, let us, plural. Then God, singular, talking to himself, said, let us, having a conversation within the Godhead, let us make man in our image. One God, singular, eternally existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. In the being of the Godhead, there is unity with diversity. God said, let us make man in our image. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they are the same in essence, the same in power, the same in glory, the same in being. They are God. And yet, they are very distinct and different in role and function. The Father is God, but he's not the Son. The Son is God, but he's not the Father. The Spirit is God, but he's not the Son. One God, three distinct persons, inseparable unity, great diversity. God created us in two genders as image bearers, reflectors of him and his glory. He created man, mankind, humanity. So God created man, that's singular, one thing. He created one species, and he did so in two genders. God created man, mankind, male and female, he created them. One species, two genders, male and female, inseparable unity, great diversity. As human beings, we are the same in essence, we are the same in value, we are the same in significance, we are the same in worth, male and female. No matter which male and female you're talking about, that's why racism is sin, because there's only one race, mankind. But to bear his image, God made us different and diverse. Man and woman are the same, and yet we are very different. I just knew I'd get an amen right there, but I didn't. In fact, God created the male and female gender distinct across all of his creation, plant life, animal life, human life, for the purpose of procreation, to multiply. So what's going on there? What makes us distinct as male and female than the animals who are male and female and plants who have male and female components and all of these things? Here's the difference. God designed plants and animals to reproduce for the enjoyment and good of man. Hear that. God designed plants and animals to reproduce for the enjoyment and good of man. That's why if you go to Mars, you don't find a forest or a herd of buffalo. You only find that here in the entire universe for the good and benefit and upkeep and sustaining and enjoyment of man. So why does man reproduce? God designed man, male and female, to reproduce and multiply. And remember what he said? And fill the earth. Go fill this earth with what? Image bearers. Fill this earth with beings that reflect my glory, that point back to me. We were created for the glory of God. That gives a little insight then into when the gospel comes into the biblical narrative, doesn't it? Because the gospel is to be proclaimed where? Just on your street? Just in your community? No. To the ends of the earth. Why? Because that's where all the image bearers are. So send that gospel out to the ends of the earth for the glory. Remember what the Bible says? The glory of God shall do what? Fill the earth. Mankind was created with gender as part of bearing the image of God, that we might bring him glory. Now let's look at gender as created by God. God's the one that came up with gender. When God created, he created gender. So we should really look to him if we want to find out about gender. The same if we want to find out about marriage. The same if we want to find out about sexuality. We should be looking to the one who created it and designed it. Note that God did not create a spectrum. In fact, it was God who came up with the binary. The first question we've got to ask is, can we really improve on God's plans? Now, as sinners, we think we can, don't we? No matter what it is, we think we can improve on God's way. There's got to be a different way. This is an old book. This is outdated, archaic, old-fashioned. We got new and better ways, and yet these new and better ways just never seem to fulfill what they promised to fulfill. Male and female, look at this. Male and female, he created them. Creation. Gender is not a construct. Gender is a divine creation. Our gender. And not just gender as a definition and identification of human beings, but who you are. You were created male. You were created female. God created you. Gender is not an individual choice. It's a divine design. There is no blurry, fuzzy in between here in verse 27. Everything is so clear and distinct. There's no question as to what is male and what is female. Adam is male, Eve is female. Gender is made by God with great clarity and distinctiveness, and it's decisive, and it's unalterable, by the way. It is unalterable. We must hear that. To move through the fog of deception, we must hear that gender is unalterable because it has been decisively and distinctively created by God, as is the rest of His creation. You can't change the sun into the moon. They have been distinctively and decisively created. They're both lights, in a way. They both give light, but they're very different. Males and females are created by God to be distinctively different, to be the same, but to be different. The way God has created and designed us speaks to God's purpose for us, even down to our very bodies. Our bodies are different. Men are built to provide, to protect. Women are built to nurture, to sustain. Women were made for beauty, to be admired. Men, we were just made to function, right? Pick that up, carry it over there, set it down. Our muscular and skeletal structures are different. Our hormones are different. Our organs are different. We even think differently. Waiting on another amen. All right, wives, you've missed two of them. No more. You know that popular title, right? Men are from Mars, women are from Venus. We are different by design. Men want to solve. Women want to think through, feel through. They think through and by feeling through. Men think through by solving. We are very different in every aspect by divine design. That didn't come by accident. That didn't come by evolution. That comes by divine design. God has a wonderful divine purpose for our differences. If God created you male, He means for you to live out manhood to His glory, fulfilling His purpose and finding your joy and good along the way. This is central to today's message. We will never find our joy and good in this life pushing back and fighting against God's divine design for us. If He created you female, He means for you to live out your womanhood to His glory, fulfilling His purpose, finding your joy and good along the way. He created you. He designed you, male or female. And His design for male and female are so distinct and so clear and so undeniable and unalterable that God created gender to be reflected down to every single cell in your human body. One of the deceptions of the transgender movement is that they actually want us to believe it's just a matter of biological organs, physically. In every cell of the human body, there are 23 pairs of chromosomes. We're going back to school. One of those 23 pairs are referred to as the sex chromosome, the determination of whether you will be male or female. In that pair, the female has two X chromosomes in every cell of her body. If you were born female, that means that every single cell of your body, from your cuticle and the rest, says, I'm a female. Every cell in your body says, I'm a female. If you were born a male, you have an X and a Y in that pair of chromosomes in every cell of your body. Not every part of your body, every cell in your body. God designed gender to be determined not only by the reproductive organs you're born with, but by every single cell in your body. The fact of creation, the fact of that creation has massive implications, but it also has massive hope if you are currently being pulled or you are pursuing a transgender life. This fact of creation that you can't change every cell of your body. That's not bad news. That's hope. Truth never destroys. That's what deception does. Here's the implication and hope. You can't undo what God has done. That's just absolute truth. You can't undo what God has done. You can undo what man has done, but you can't undo what God has done. This is the problem in our culture. We've removed God, and therefore we think we can do anything. But we can't undo what God has done. Don't spend another moment of your life trying to reverse or change or alter how God has made you. It cannot be done. We don't choose our gender just like we don't choose the color of our eyes. We don't choose the date we were born. We don't choose where we were born. We don't choose who our parents are. We don't choose the color of our skin. There's a lot about us that is right down to the essence and core of who we are that we don't choose and that we can't change. We can't change who our parents are. We can't change what date we were born. We can't change these. We can put in color contacts, but you take them out. You still have brown eyes. You still have green eyes. You can't change them. Some things are left totally in the realm of the divine. Why? Because he has a good design and purpose for them. His glory, our good. But sin enters the equation, doesn't it? And it distorts and it confuses. And when sin distorts and confuses, it breeds discontentment. At the bottom of the transgender movement is a radical discontentment with who I am. And it's flooded and filled with lies and deception. Mainly, the big lie being, you can change who you are. Transgender is a horrible deception. There's no such thing. You will never find completion and satisfaction in trying to be a gender separate from your biological identity. That's who God created you to be. Now, I know you can change your clothes. I know you can change your appearance. I know you can alter your body through hormone therapy and radical surgery. I know you can change the way you carry yourself. You can change your voice. But you'll never change every cell in your body. It is a vain pursuit. In our day, that sounds like hatred, doesn't it? But why would we let someone, why would we encourage someone, why would we applaud someone when we know what they're seeking for cannot be achieved? Is that loving? Or is it loving to say, That's the wrong way. You can never reach your goal. It cannot happen. There's a better way called God's good design and purpose. You will never cross. The bottom line of the transgender movement is that the word itself is a lie. You will never cross from one gender to another. And no one, I don't care the language, I don't care the Hollywood drama, no one is truly biologically caught somewhere in between. Now look at Psalm 139. Verses 13 and 14. Here's the wonderful truth of who you are, how you were created. Psalm 139, 13 and 14, speaking to God, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well." That's the truth. You were created, and you were created wonderfully to praise the Lord. Sin gets in and says, "There's something wrong with you." God says, "There's everything wonderful about you. I made you wonderful." God took such great care when he created you that the psalmist calls it knitting. That's how involved the divine God is in your creation and development and determination of gender and everything else about you. God created you male or female by divine design with divine purpose. He loves you. He has the best for you. Our discontentment with who God created us to be must be met with faith in the goodness and wisdom of God. You are who you are because that's the best you that can be. God made you that way. Science didn't make you. Nature didn't evolve you. God made you perfectly, completely, wonderfully, intricately. The enemy would have you waste your life attempting to be something you are not. God would have you experience abundant life by knowing Christ and living for his glory. Another implication in hope is this. If you believe that although you were born male, you were truly female, or you were born a male trapped in a female body, what you believe then is that God made a huge mistake when he made you. God really dropped the ball when you were created. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to believe. That you are a mistake, that God messed you up, that therefore God doesn't care or God really doesn't exist. You are an accident. Or if he does, he's powerless to help you. Look what he did the first time. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. God did not make a mistake when he made you. God made you wonderful. He crafted you. He knitted you. He carefully and wonderfully created you to know him, love him, live for him, enjoy him, be reconciled to him, enjoy his presence for eternity. That's the truth of who you are. Lastly and quickly, I know we're running out of time, but this is important. What happens when we reject God's good design and purpose for gender? Let's say a few things quickly. Embracing transgenderism points to, again, a radical discontentment with ourselves, with who we are. I'm not content with being a male, so I must need to be a female. The same is true for all sin, though, isn't it? I'm not content with what God has allotted me in life, so I grab and cheat and steal and lie and do anything I have to do to be something else than what I have or who I am. That's the nature of sin, discontentment. The race to be content with ourselves is a vain endeavor. Think about that. If all you are trying to do is to achieve contentment, then that is a vain endeavor. Even believers are not content, right? Even believers, even in our spiritual life, we're not content. We're not fine. We're not settled with who we are. We always desire what? To please God more, to live for Christ more. Paul the apostle himself cried, "O wretched man that I am." Contentment is only found in Christ, not in ourself, not in a change, not in something different. Paul also says this, "I have learned to be content in whatever state I am, and I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me." Did you know that verse? You knew that verse, right? Philippians what? 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Did you know what he was talking about? Contentment. I can do all these things. I can be content with a lot, and I can be content with nothing. I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. The only way is through Christ. We find contentment not in trying to cross a gender. We find contentment in the cross of Christ. Chasing contentment by trying to be someone different will always be a dead end. We can never truly be anyone or anything else than God created us to be. We can pretend, but we can't live other than who God created us to be. Discontentment is a dissatisfaction to radically alter our appearance. And if we do that, we'll never be satisfied. If what got us there was discontentment, it will never be satisfied. It'll have to have more. It'll have to be something else, something more. We never really get there. We never really get to being somebody else or something else than what God created us to be. We'll never get there. We'll never be content. Second thing, embracing transgenderism is being deceived by sin. And when we live a life of sin apart from God, it's no life at all. Deuteronomy 22:5 says, "A woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak. For whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God." 1 Corinthians 11:14 and 15, Paul says, "Do you not know it's a shame for a man to have long hair, and a woman's long hair is her glory?" Well, we had a good time with that in the 60s, didn't we? In the 70s. What he means is it is morally wrong for a man to present himself as a woman. It's morally wrong for a woman to present herself as a man. That means you can't pursue a transgender life and be right with God. And if we're not right with God, we will never know true life, joy, peace, forgiveness, contentment. Lastly, if we live our life apart from God, we'll never enter eternity with God. But if we give our life to Christ today, he promises you to impart to you, if you give your life to Christ today, he promises to you to impart to you not only abundant life now, but eternal life and joy and bliss forevermore. Everything you're trying to find by crossing a gender can only be found when you embrace Christ. Another gender won't fix what's eating you up on the inside. But it's down deep on the inside where God does his greatest work. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Down deep on the inside is where God can bring out in you everything he created you to be. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. We need your help in the days in which we live, addressing all kinds of issues. But they're not just issues, are they? They are individuals. They are people. Your creation. Male and female, boys and girls, men and women, created by you to give you glory, to know you and to worship you forever. Father, help us as your church not to compromise that message, not to compromise the truth and lose the gospel, which is the only thing that can set us free. Father, help us, help us, help us to be proclaimers of the truth and to embrace the truth. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Gaffney, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.